live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
That's a phrase you don't hear too often. All right. Hey, it's 2 minutes and 26 seconds after the hour at 12, and this is the month of November in the year of our Lord, 2003. Thanks for coming by. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You just missed Tim moments ago saying that he has to break in his new teeth. Not really working out so well. You don't really think of teeth as something you have to break in.
Actually, you said the old ones, and I mean, they don't fit perfectly. You'll chomp down on them for a few months.
Actually, you know, I think Clyde, well, because Clyde got the brand new teeth, like about a month ago.
He scares me with that smile.
Well, Clyde had these weird, I mean, you know, it's not weird, but I mean, it's, you know, it gets to a certain point. And I guess you just hit some sort of, you know what it is? It's like the day that your extended warranty goes south on, like, your microwave, and you try to cook something, and it just burns off part of your face. And you gotta go to the store and get a new one. But it's always like exactly the day after the warranty has expired. There's some sort of planned obsolescence that goes on inside those things. Where it's like at 91 days, just the faceplate falls off and starts to leak a greenish ooze out of the back. So it is with microwaves, so go Clyde's teeth apparently. Because Clyde, I guess you just reached some expiration date on enamel. And he's trying to eat some sauerkraut or something and like his upper plate just came out with it. And so he had to go and he had. So Clyde, and there's this. I'm not trying to pick on Clyde and Timmy, yeah, the same thing, but it's probably coming. It's coming for me, too. Like 10 years from now, it's going to be me as well. But it's like you can't just get all your teeth at once. It's like they sort of do a piecemeal or something. And so it's like he had some teeth that were there and some teeth weren't. And it was, you know, but then he came in one day and they were fixed and he opened his mouth and it was just this blinding, gleaming wall of white. It was kind of unnerving, actually. So, anyway.
It's like, why don't we buy him a big watermelon so he can munch right into it?
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
Okay. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from the studios of Hot Talk in Eddie KFTK, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thanks for coming by. We're here with Tim Riley, Sarah Dillon, F. Matt Peterson. Coming up this hour, CNN radio correspondent John Bisney will be here. I guess it's Kerry that fired his campaign manager and, I don't know, hired like his brother-in-law or something to run his campaign. So we'll be talking about that. And was it in Iowa? Was it Gephardt that just made this gigantic leap forward this weekend in the Iowa polls?
Well, that's one of the real white states.
All right, so we'll talk about that. We got today's top five coming up. It's a truly terrible top five on the way. Top five songs from this week in 1988. It was on this week in 1988 that Bush and Quayle assumed office. For the first time, anyway. And we'll be counting on the top five from that week. We've also got... we got a list of things. We got more Matrix reviews, like the four. I haven't seen it yet. And at this point, let me just tell you, at this point, I do not care if the ending is spoiled for me. It's just become one of those things that I'm going to see just so I can have it finished and done and out of the way. So we'll talk a little bit about that later on, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. Plus, Jolie from the front desk, your email, et cetera. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 503-250-1080, 1-800-727-5955. We're moments away from Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom at Hot Talk 1080. KOTK.
Yo, it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be due. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chillin', cause it's all backed up, but I got the traffic in Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
I'm not having the radio. Gangsta.
Yeah. I'm not having the radio.
Gangsta.
Yeah. I'm not having the radio.
Gangsta.
Yeah. I'm not having the radio.
Gangsta.
now, it's not just news. It's News with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I'm going to have to go gargle with some salt water later. Okay. Must be good for your teeth.
Whatever it is you feel you need to do.
By the way, did I hear correctly that some time ago that Goldie Hawn is here?
She's a motivational speaker, along with Rudy Giuliani. They caused this morning's traffic jam because everybody's trying to get to the Rose Court. I mean, that place is just packed. So I don't know if they're talking about no down payment, real estate, or what's going on.
Fathom the type of person that feels the need to go and be inspired to do something by Goldie Hawn. What exactly is it that Goldie Hawn would inspire you to do?
I don't know. I mean, ask Kurt Russell.
Make a series of unsuccessful films and look increasingly leathery and be overshadowed by your hot daughter? I mean, I guess maybe, but you know, which is maybe a goal for some people. I don't know. I mean, I got love for Goldie Hawn and all. I just can't
really live around here.
I mean, you just wonder, like, how many... You know what it is? That's how we were talking about Wayne Brady and how Wayne Brady's got to go, like, 70. You know, he's just last on the list of people that get called to have guests for talk shows, which is why he's always booking, like, you know, he's always, like, Anson Williams or somebody, you know? Or Ralph Mouth is always showing up there. And so you wonder if, like, they went through everybody they could possibly think of. And they must have just gotten one of the star maps and just started randomly calling people. You know, just Conrad Bain, would you like to come? Could you come give a motivational speech for somebody? No? Okay. How about that guy that played Balky?
Horseshack from Welcome Back, Cotter.
What happened to him? No, Ron Polillo's out of the country.
That's what would happen if it was being held in, like, Roseburg or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. All right. And anyway, so blame Goldie Hawn for your traffic woes today.
And it's going to happen this afternoon as you're returning home.
Oh, so it's not even done?
No.
Oh, well, Jolie actually just called and said that Goldie Hawn isn't in town, but she's doing it via satellite.
What? So it's not even live.
People are getting stuck in rush hour traffic to see Goldie Hawn on big screen via satellite.
You don't even get Goldie Hawn live. She's doing it from her living room in Santa Barbara.
We need to go back to riding downtown again.
Seriously, that's money well spent right there. It's like, do you remember, and you know, MTV doesn't do this anymore, but MTV used to try to screw you with this back in the day when they would do, like, the VMAs. I remember back in, God, it must have been like 89 or 90, it was on the Steel Wheels tour, and all month long, MTV was like pimping the VMAs, like, and the Rolling Stones, live, VMAs, Stones. And so then, you know, the VMAs come and, you know, they're doing the whole thing and they're giving out their awards. And then for the big climax, the big finale of the night, Kurt Loder, some guy, Adam Curry comes out, he's, you know, and now the Rolling Stones, and then, you know, and then the curtain opens, and it's like a video screen, and it's the Rolling Stones in, like, Brixton, you know, just somewhere, like, completely unaware they're even on camera, probably. Probably wasn't even live. You know, it was like some gig they'd done a few weeks before, and, you know, some guy in the back room just hits play, and there's the Rolling Stones. Jesus. All right.
Now, Goldie Hawn is the only person we're concerned about. What everyone's thinking about is, okay, who won last night, Elizabeth Smart or Jessica Lynch? So we have that for you.
I put my money on Jessica Lynch.
Elizabeth Smart outrated the rescue of Jessica Lynch, or the alleged rescue. CBS drew a larger audience with the Smart story. Overnight ratings reveal a 10.8 rating and a 16 share as NBC trailed, saving Jessica Lynch only a 9.9 and a 14 share. So it was back and forth for the primetime heroes. Elizabeth Smart took New York City. Lynch conquered Los Angeles. We still don't know who did what in Chicago. So that is going on.
I watched neither of them.
Me too.
I watched the new season of The Office, which is continuing on BBC America, which is like one of the greatest shows ever. Man, you gotta get BBC America. You totally gotta do that. I mean, you gotta find a way. It doesn't matter. Just sell drugs if you have to. You gotta have that because The Office is like it hands down. It's one of the best sitcoms going anywhere.
Yeah, I watched the first season on DVD and it's really funny.
Yeah, it really is. It's really fantastic. This chair is great, by the way. I don't know whose chair. This isn't the normal chair that's in here.
I stole that.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to have plausible deniability. So don't tell me where you stole it from.
But it was in the hallway.
This chair has got. I mean, it's really just got a mile of padding in it, and it's got arm. When I press the button to go down, it goes down, and then it comes back up again.
It's the way a chair should be.
Not just teetering over. The little wheels aren't just falling off for no apparent reason. I mean, it actually. You can tell how low, by the way, if you're listening to this, to be effusive about the chair.
We are happy to have a chair with four legs and four wheels.
You can tell how low the bar is set for happiness when you work in radio. Then I'm ecstatic today that I've got a chair that actually works. It isn't ramming a big steel rod into my coccyx. You know.
You know, when I came in, there was no chair in here at all.
Yeah, bunch of bastards. So, all right.
Well, let's talk about more important things closer to home. It's been 10 days since 16-year-old Cynthia Land disappeared from the Malala Public Library, and even her boyfriend has no idea where she could be. It was 4 months ago that Brian Talbot began dating Cynthia Lamb.
I see a really happy girl with a good attitude, personality, an easygoing person.
We like to smoke a lot of weed.
But now, it's like quiet without her.
He's dumbfounded at her disappearance.
She has trouble. She knows she can talk to my parents or me, and she does. And now she usually calls every night.
It's Brian Wilson.
She hasn't rang for me.
I'm sorry. It was just
maybe somebody else is on the party line.
Jesus, what the hell is that? How old is he?
Oh, I don't know. He's going to be around the same.
How old is she?
She is 16, so he's going to be around the same age.
What's her name?
Her name is Cynthia Lamb.
Cynthia, you can do better, honey.
I think she has.
You can move. Jesus, man.
Well, little did Brian know Cynthia was spending 5 hours a day at the Malala Library exchanging pics and phone numbers with guys on the Internet.
Don't.
Her parents wouldn't allow that type of behavior at home.
It wasn't until we learned of a relationship that she was having with an older man secretly that she had met over the Internet that we put a halt to it.
I bet she called herself, like, Sexy Pants 49, or wasn't it somebody, I don't know, somebody had, like, a whole breakdown of... Never mind. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, Cynthia's boyfriend offers a few passing thoughts.
My thoughts are actually kind of hard to tell. But every morning, I think it's like the first time I've seen it. This happened.
I don't understand.
Would you like to hear it again?
I do.
What did he say?
I don't know. We're going to play it again, but listen to the first
passing thoughts.
Were truer words ever spoken than when he says he doesn't really have the words to say it? Play it again.
My thoughts are actually kind of hard to tell. But every morning, I think it's like the first time I've seen it. This happened.
It's like bad refrigerator poetry being spoken by a Down syndrome child.
No, it's like trying to read a George W. Bush speech.
Seriously, it just doesn't... I just get in there, and it's like being in one of those corn mazes. You just can't even figure out where you're going.
All right. So I don't know why she would leave a guy like that.
So she ran away... I wasn't paying attention to any of the story, by the way. Did she run away with a coach again?
This is the coach. This is somebody on the Internet.
Probably a coach, though.
And the person she was seen leaving was somebody at the library.
All right.
She was seen walking out of the library October 30th with a man in his mid-20s.
So, all right. Okay. Well, I'm not saying anything untoward about this girl's personality or her behavior, but we all knew that girl in high school that had, like, some boyfriend that was, like, 9 years older than she was. You all knew, and everybody went to school with a girl like that.
Well, back in my day, before the Internet, people met at the Dairy Queen parking lot.
on a chili dog outside the Tasty Freeze.
That's true, yeah.
We all went to school with some girl named Chrissy. Like K-R-I-S-S-I, with hearts over it. Not dots, hearts. And she always had some boyfriend that was going to the junior college and drove like a primer gray Trans Am. You know, he's like 21 or something, had like a bad mullet, you know, and like a cut off, like a denim vest with the sleeves cut off. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
Yes, it's no fun at all when you can't understand people. Take this little get-together this morning. When questions from Japanese journalists were taken by Donald Rumsfeld.
Yesterday, Japanese ruling party, including Prime Minister Koizumi, won their election. So if you don't mind, first of all, please give us a comment on that. He's
had all his teeth removed.
Well, I couldn't imagine what I could say. The Japan's a democracy, just like our country's a democracy, and the people speak.
And he started off by saying somebody won an erection.
I wonder if he has.
Part of that?
Do you suppose that he has just stock phrases set aside for people from various countries when they can't understand what he's.
Liberty.
Yeah, I just. All right, let's. Bill in Portland, you're a full time listener. What's up?
Hey, I just was yesterday watching the Buffalo's Denver game over at this bar. I stopped in after work, and this girl kept yelling and shouting and cheering and everything every time Denver did something good. And she turns around and goes, "Is there any Buffalo fans here?" And the guy next to me goes, "Yeah, go Buffalo." So she came over and gave him a rash of crap. It turned out her name was Sam, and she had this little brochure or photo packet with her. And she goes, "Yeah, Yeah, I'm a KOTK girl.
Oh, it must have been it was Samantha.
Yeah,
yeah.
She was just gorgeous, and she turned out to be real friendly.
Yeah, she's totally cool.
She ended up finding one of her very risque pictures, I must add. She has beautiful hands, but boy, I can't just wait a minute and imagine what's underneath.
Beautiful hands.
Well, yeah. If you'd seen the picture, you'd know what I'm talking about.
You must use Palmolive.
Okay. I don't really, maybe that's something I shouldn't know any more about.
Well, she's got the picture of herself, and she was wearing a Troy Aikman shirt, and she pulled her shirt up and showed me her
okay.
And yes. In the picture, her hands are kind of in the way a little bit.
Okay. Well, all right. So she's completely great. You can see, in fact, there's a bunch of, we haven't got, oh, damn it, that's what I didn't do. I didn't put the new kissing pictures up.
I was looking for those, too.
I'll put those up.
What's your website?
It's just rickemerson.com. And there's a bunch of pictures of her from listener party number 4. I'll get those up. All right, so there you go. So that's Bill in Portland. Yeah, there's a bunch of great pictures of her and the other 1080 girls. There in the you go to the photo section. There's the whole link that says listener party 4, and we're gonna get the. We got some new ones from Gary and Jen at the at Alternative Tattoo. We'll put those up later on today.
I wasn't aware she had such beautiful hands, but I'll have to check them out next time.
I don't know what that's all about.
Well, scales that go up to 1,000 pounds, steering wheels for drivers who can't fit behind the wheel, and a device to help people who can't bend over to put on their socks and supersized towels. Increasingly, companies are making bigger profits for America's bigger people, customizing everything from caskets to seatbelts. That's because, according to the CDC, 20% of Americans are now obese.
Okay, if you needed a scale that went up to 1,000 pounds, at what point why would you even be weighing yourself? What is it you're hoping to learn?
Well, you get getting one of those healthy lunches at KFC that's only 5 grams of fat.
What news are you expecting the scale to impart to you other than that you're the fattest man in the history of the world? I mean, wouldn't you? I'm just saying here, and I'm just speculating. But the day when you made the decision to buy a scale that went up to 1,000 pounds, wouldn't that be telling you all the information? Look, you either need a scale that goes to 1,000 pounds or you don't. If you need that scale, weighing yourself isn't going to tell you anything you want to know. You know, so, whatever.
What size waist would you have?
I can't even imagine.
If you weigh 1,000 pounds,
If you're morbidly obese, please, I have no idea. We'll be back. We got CNN radio correspondent John Bisney on the way. More of your phone calls. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, the KUTK Noon News Hour.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Like two polar bears trying to hump it out.
Then there's this other guy who couldn't find a sponge to reach certain parts of his body because he weighs 450 pounds. And he's an engineer, and he came up with sponge on a stick. Who wants to see what that looks like?
Certain parts on his body.
Yeah. We want to know what certain parts those might be.
And here's the thing about the phrase, can't reach certain parts of your body. You don't want to think about what areas those are, but it's like you just can't stop yourself. You know what I mean? It's like when it says, don't think of purple elephants. It's like it's just there. You can't do anything about it. So, do you have that? Let's see that article now. Yeah. Build an entire line of products with heavier people in mind, including seatbelt extenders. Extra. Wouldn't you think that you're just kind of your own airbag? That was beneath me. That was a joke that was beneath me, but, extra large towels. Yeah, because I guess moisture's a pretty big issue, because you got all those folds to deal with. You don't have to worry about that. Sponge on a stick.
Ugh.
What the hell?
To reach hard to get to parts of your body.
Alright, I'm not going to think about that anymore.
Imagine that being given away like on a game show. Promotional consideration to sponge on a stick. Reach hard to reach parts on your butt. Sponge on a stick.
Fold
available
scrub.
At Walmart.
Yeah, mold away. All right. I'm just saying, gunk be gone. All right, I read this story. Can I just say...
Look, this is the lunch hour.
Let me just say one thing about folds, though. I read this story, which we did not use on the air last week, but I read there's some story last week about some morbidly obese woman ended up in the hospital, and, you know, she goes in, she had, you know, whatever, stubbed her toe or something. She ends up in the hospital, and they're moving up into the bed, and it's like, I don't want to tell it. But it's like they found her. They found the remote control, like, inside a fold. It's like they're trying to, and then with the, and then the fold, and then the remote control comes right out.
So maybe if they had that sponge on a stick.
Seriously, you know.
They could have found it easier.
Okay. On a cell phone, it's Jay in Portland. What's up?
What's up, Rick? It's Jay, the anal-loving Mormon. How you doing, bud?
How you doing, man?
You know, this whole stuff about products for fat people, I mean, I agree it's pretty ridiculous, but at the same time, a lot of us fat people need products that aren't available to us, like...
A cork?
Right. What I needed was a treadmill because I needed to lose weight. So I went to like Nordic Track and Nautilus and stuff. And all the treadmills were not rated for my weight. They were rated for like 300 pounds and below.
Yeah.
And it's like, I looked at the guy and I was like, dude, you know, if anybody needs to lose weight, it's me. And you're telling me I can't buy a treadmill and walk on it to lose weight because I'm too fat? You know, what am I supposed to do?
Did you ask like do you belong to a gym or something?
No, I don't got time for that.
Yeah. Well, okay. Tim?
What do you have time to do?
If you don't have time for your health,
student,
Jay.
I work days and work nights, and I got three kids, so, I mean...
Jay, if you don't take care of your body's not going to take care of you. If you have time to... Wait, hold on, I'm looking for a rhyme. You have time to walk. What rhymes with walk? If you have time... I should have prepared some of these in advance.
I'm losing weight, but it would be a lot easier if I could, you know, get up early in the morning in my house and exercise, but, you know, I still have 50 pounds to go before I can even think about getting a damn treadmill.
Now,
ridiculous.
I don't mean to sound flip, but I mean, they got the outdoors, you know, and you could just be walking around outdoors.
Yeah, I could, you know, you got a point, but really, I mean, it's, you got to set yourself up for success, not for failure, and I just know that if I got up and it's raining or it's cold or whatever, I wouldn't want to go, whereas if I could just get up and watch Matrix and walk, I'd be a lot more inclined to do it.
Well, you know what they ought to have? Can I just tell you, Jay, and you will, and it's, I'm not going to pretend that I have a big weight problem, a little flabby, but that's about it, but can I just tell you this? This is a product that would work, and I've been saying this for this, if I had $1 million, the product I would create and market to you and to me and to Sarah and to everybody else who sits and goes, I need to figure out how to eat less. I would do this. I would create a television that was hooked to an exercise cycle, and the television only works if you're pedaling. And then you get rid of your other television.
Well, if you invent it, make sure that it is rated for people that are over 300 pounds.
Seriously. Yeah, so, I mean, you're talking to like a... I don't know. Are you talking to somebody about how to lose weight, or are you just...
Well,
first of all,
I
don't mean that...
on my own, and I mean, I'm losing weight, but
yeah.
It's just... You know, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, I couldn't even find a scale to friggin' weigh myself, dude, because the scales go up to 300 pounds.
But, I mean, why would you... And I don't mean to sound, you know, flip about any of this, but it's like when you say you couldn't find a scale to weigh yourself because they only go up to 300 pounds, like, what were you weighing yourself hoping to find? Like, what were you... Like, what...
I wanted to know how much I weighed, and I wanted to track my progress.
Ah, okay. I see. Well, that makes sense. So you're 400 now?
No, I was 400. Now I'm 350.
How did you... How long did it take you, like, at what point did you begin gaining weight? How long did it take you to get to 400 pounds from whatever your starting point was?
It took me several years. When I got back from my mission in South America, I was 215, and then I got married right away, and it's been about 6.5 years. So it took me about, you know, 6 years or so to put on, you know, 200, almost 200 pounds.
Well, and now is your wife an eater, too?
No, dude, she's petite. She's 5 foot. She's like 100 pounds. Little hottie.
Well, I mean, okay, so you guys walking around town, you basically look like a 10. Just like one tall and, you know, thin, the other one's kind of rounder.
Yeah, people look at us funny all the time. Just
yeah.
They're checking
like
around, they're looking at me like, how is he hitting that?
Yeah, well, you don't get respect for me, I don't, you know, so, you know, I gotta give you props for that, I guess. Well, I don't know, I guess, I mean, I'm not gonna pretend to be some, like, weight loss guru or whatever, but I mean, I'm just, as Yoda would say, there is no try. You either do or do not. And so it's like, here's what I would do. As just my observation. I'm not going to try to give you a whole lot of advice or anything. But I would totally give the discipline in this situation to your wife. Give her authority. And this is what I would do. I would sort of make the pledge to her or to whoever that you're going to, like, if you want to, like, if you can't get a treadmill, that you're going to walk around outside pick like a number of days a week, like 3-4 days a week, and then, but then let her decide what she gets to do to you if you don't do it.
Oh man.
So that, well, that's, I mean, that's what you say. That's how we do it in our house, and it works, because it's like, I'll say, like, yeah, I promise to take out the trash, and she'll go, okay, what do I get to do if it's not done? And then, you know, and then she gets to pick the punishment, and that way I know it's going to happen, because it's like a terrible truth or dare situation. I know that I'm going to get this, you know, I'm going to get screwed by something if it's not done.
So you're not talking about, like, sex or withholding sex, you're just talking about...
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She gets the punishment. It doesn't matter. It could be that, could be whatever. So,
as long as it's not sex.
But you go, it sounds to me like that might get you motivated, though.
Oh, man.
So just tell her, give her the authority. Say, look, I'm going to walk 4 days a week. If I don't do it, you know, what is... And then she'll say, you know, what do I get to do if you fall through on your end of the deal? And she gets to pick the punishment, and she gets to... And you have to abide by it.
That would actually get me to do some crap around the house.
That's what Tony Robbins calls leveraging. You gotta put all the authority in her hands, because you're not going to disobey her.
Yeah,
so,
man.
That's how you got to do it. So, well, let us know. Keep us in the loop. Let us know how your progress works.
I will, man.
All right, there you go.
I bet that's what Goldie Hawn's talking about right now.
Nice.
By a satellite at the Rose Quarter.
Yeah. Have you thought about asking Eric Estrada at one of his many self-help seminars what he would do? In a moment here, we'll talk to Michael. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show on Capitol Hill, a man who is a 400-pound intellectual giant, John Bisney. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I like that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. How's life in Capitol Hill?
Well, it's pretty boring up here today, to be honest. The House is, I think, gone now for the rest of the week. And Harry Reid, who is the number two Democrat, has been holding the floor since, oh, gosh, about 11 o'clock today, just sort of rambling on and on and on.
It's not a filibuster.
No, not really. I think he's just really taking on the Bush administration, because later this week, and you may have heard about this, the Republicans in the Senate are going to take to the floor for an all-night talkathon complaining about the Democrats blocking Bush's judicial nominees. It's going to start like around, I don't know, Wednesday afternoon and last into Friday morning.
Okay, so is this just... Like, when there's nothing else to do, just random people take the floor with the, you know, just, I mean, there's always like a vacuum there that apparently needs to be filled by some guy getting up and rambling forever there. This is why I know I could never be a Capitol reporter, because I would just go insane with the tedium of the entire thing. There's just no way. Let me ask you a little bit. We've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. So Kerry, I don't know to what extent you guys are talking about this, but Kerry fired his campaign manager, right?
Yeah, a fairly well-known Democratic operative, a guy named Jim Jordan, who was very much involved in defending Bill Clinton during the impeachment campaign here. And he did a pretty good job getting the Kerry campaign off and rolling, but it seems to have just lost some momentum now. And with the Iowa caucuses, and more particularly the New Hampshire primary coming up, Kerry felt it was time to shake things up.
What is the logic behind Lieberman? And I think it's just Lieberman, but it might not be. Lieberman is saying that he's not even, he's blowing off Iowa altogether. All right, isn't that Lieberman? He's not even going to campaign there. He's not even going to worry about Iowa.
Well, I know John Edwards has said that, although he's running some campaign commercials up there. Maybe he can get something going. But, yeah, Lieberman, too, I think, realizing that you've pretty much got to concede Iowa, I think, either to Dean, who is very popular with his liberal viewpoints, or to Dick Gephardt from neighboring Missouri. Those two guys seem to be neck and neck in the surveys.
You know, for a long time, all of the Democratic contenders here, they were sort of united against taking shots at Bush. They were trying to gain most of their traction from lambasting the president. But it seems like there's been sort of a perceptible shift in the last couple weeks, where they're all sort of coalescing and training their guns kind of on Dean. Is that true, or is that my imagination, that they've shifted from attacking the president to attacking Dean?
No, it's absolutely right. And in the first instance, I think they were interested in establishing their liberal credentials and letting everybody know how much they didn't like President Bush, how much they were against the war, in many cases, Lieberman and a couple of others an exception. But now, you know, they look at the polls and see time is running short and say, gosh, you know, just jumping on Bush isn't getting me very far. Let's look around to see who is taking my oxygen away. And as we've said, in many cases, it's Howard Dean. To some extent, Kerry and General Clark is getting some play, too.
Gephardt had a pretty big surge, though, in the most recent poll, didn't he? He managed to jump ahead quite a bit.
Yeah, and I think that he still represents a reasonable, I put that in quotes, I guess, alternative for the party if they're not so sold on the liberal credentials of Howard Dean. Gephardt, I think, will do very well in Iowa. He's really made that a must-win situation, I think, almost. But you get into New Hampshire, the next big primary, first primary, and Gephardt is third behind Dean and Kerry.
So, to what extent do you think we're still in like a honeymoon period with Clark? Because there's, he had such a huge bounce when he got in. Primarily, because it's like in those polls where they say that. I was talking to somebody about this weekend where they say that Bush, in these certain scenarios they run, Bush loses against an unnamed Democrat, 43 to whatever. But of course, as soon as you put a name in there, it drops a little bit because the people always like a blank slate they can project things onto. To what extent do you think we're still in the blank slate period with Clark, and is that going to be ending soon?
I think we're very much in that position. You tell people that he's a retired general, and he instantly takes on some credibility, and perhaps rightly so in their mind, to go up against George Bush, who, of course, ironically enough, has made his name in foreign affairs. So, but you ask people more specifics, they really don't know a lot about Clark, what his positions are, and this is true, unfortunately, for these men and one woman, almost across the board. They still seem to be a mishmash to a lot of voters. Nobody really has done a great job clearly defining themselves. Again, Dean is doing a better job maybe than others. But it remains a formidable task, I think, for General Clark as well.
All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent John Bisney on Capitol Hill there. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Let's get one more here. Let's get Michael, a full-time listener in the Couve. What's up?
Hey, Rick. My girlfriend and I were cleaning up the apartment this past weekend.
Yeah.
And we stumbled across one of the more perplexing questions of our modern times. And that question is, what the heck does anybody do with a Commodore 64?
I don't know, bronze it?
I've lived in the Northwest too much. My heart's too soft to just take it to the old dumpster Texas style.
Actually, there are groups that get together, and it pains me in my geekdom that I even know this. There are groups that get together, actually, and either in real time or like virtually on the net, there's actually this group that takes existing software, and they have these contests where they'll take like an existing software program and they'll try to retrowrite it so it'll run on some given piece of equipment from the past. So they'll have a contest where they'll take like Doom or Quake or something, or Microsoft Word, and then they'll give you like an Apple IIc.
Fine and dandy. That doesn't get
there's
it out of
you
the
can
living
actually,
room.
Yeah, there's nothing you can actually do with it, though. But I would I'd keep it around to show to future generations.
You know, we've got one here.
A Commodore 64.
We really do. It's
the whole idea is getting it out of the house.
Oh, give it to us.
Give it to the Rick Emerson show?
Seriously, you can give it to us. I'll find something to do with it.
You're that low on the food chain?
Dude, you should see the computer I got now.
It'd be a step up from the machine Rick uses every day.
I'm basically running an abacus back at my desk. So, yeah, you give that to us. We'll totally take it. Give us your crap that doesn't work anymore.
You're that nostalgic. Okay.
Yeah. All right. There you go. All right. There's Michael in the Couve. Yeah, drop that by our... we were always looking for that stuff. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 at KOTK.
Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Hey, we should totally track Jay's weight loss. I like that idea. You know
okay.
What we should do? Wait, this is what we should do. We should get Jay, who
just
was...
Just as long as you don't exploit his weight loss.
I wasn't
to...
mean. I was
okay.
Completely nice to him. You were here. You heard the call. It was completely nice. But he's like down to 350 or something. I mean, but how sad is that when you're like, no, I'm making big progress. I'm only 350. That's just got to be depressing. So,
I don't even, gosh, how big is 350 pounds?
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty sizable. I mean, especially depending on how tall you are. And, it's one thing if you're Andre the Giant. It's another thing if you're me or something. So, I mean, yeah, we should come up with some listener-created weight loss program and then just make him do it. I could, we could get that guy some weight loss going on. All right, here's Sarah with the traffic.
The Federal Bureau of Land Management has developed a plan to reduce fuel for wildfires along the Rogue River. BLM officials say the fire hazard within the Hellgate Sanction of the Rogue National Wild and Scenic River Recreation Area has been increasing for many years. The Oregon Disabilities Commission is seeking volunteers to fill 5 vacancies on the 15-member panel. The commission advises the governor, the legislature, and state agencies on the needs of people with disabilities and recommends appropriate action. A motel shooting that led to drug arrests in Grants Pass last week has resulted in new charges. After the gun was found, 22-year-old Charles White facing firearms and drug charges after police found a 9mm handgun fired through the floor of a downtown hotel room. For the Metro forecast, rain likely today, highs in the 50s. Same for tonight, same for tomorrow. Tim Riley, KOTK News.